think this is one of our most wonderful lessons that we can draw from Psalm 119. Yes, we can learn about attitude. We can learn about afflictions and how he did and how to endure. But this is one of the reasons that he endured. This is one of the reasons that he loved God's word. This is one of the reasons that even though he was afflicted, he said, I delight in your word. I love your word. I have comfort. I have endurance. And so, I'm revived by your word. But notice in 151 of 119, Sally, read 151 and then 168.
158?
168 after 151.
You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. I behold the treacherous and loathe them, because they do not keep your word.
168.
Sorry. I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you.
Okay. I put those together. They were separate on your sheet, but I put them together. Notice how he addresses 151. He doesn't say, God is near. He addresses him personally. You are near, O Lord. He's talking to him. He's not just making a statement. He's praising the Lord in the midst of some of these things right above there that he's doing. And he's been praying for some things. And so that we're going to, Lord willing, if we get to it, study. But you are near, O Lord. What does that bring comfort to you, to know that the Lord is near? What do you think he's saying here? Just someone. What's he saying?
We've been calling him many times.
Why?
Because he's near and we trust in his commandments.
Exactly. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. It doesn't matter what kind of dark hole we're in. And we're going to read a passage about that. He is omniscient. He knows everything. He knows everything. We're going to read a passage about that. And he's omnipotent. I'll get it right. My brain, I need help. It's too bad the Holy Spirit just can't put it in there. But anyway, he's omnipotent. He knows everything. He's all-powerful, and he's everywhere. That's the God we serve. And this is the God that he is personally addressing and praising. So, Carol, turn to 139, Psalm 139. And we're going to read 1 through 7.
O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thoughts from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down, and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend... Oh, okay.
That's okay. But if you ascend to heaven or to the depths of, or in death, it goes on and on. Okay, so there are two thoughts here. Is it comfort? And it's a warning. I can't get away from God. He's there. So, my thoughts, my deeds, my condition, my struggle, my pain, He's there. Any thoughts on this passage? Sometimes it's good to go over and read Psalm 139. Then you can turn over to 145. Psalm 145. We're only going to read a few. Because he talks about you're near. You know, sometimes we have needs. And we're just going to read 14 through 20. But it's got good thoughts all the way through. Right above that, it talks about his kingdom being forever. So, 14. The Lord sustains all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them food in due time. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, kind in all his deeds. We're going to talk about that in a minute. The Lord is near to all who call upon him. To all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. The Lord keeps all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. So when you read up there about the Lord is kind in all his deeds, the wicked he destroys. It's those who fear him, those who hear him, those who love him, obey him. Not that he doesn't give food to the animals, not that he doesn't give food to the people. He does those things. He sustains. He even sustains the world that he created until he's going to destroy it. But the Lord is near to all who call on his name. He's there. He helps. It may not be according to our will, but he's righteous in all he does. Any thoughts about this reading or anything that you gain from it? Over in Hebrews 13, the writer quotes something from the Old Testament. Does anybody remember in Hebrews 13, 5 and 6 what he quotes? I will never
leave you.
Leave you, forsake you, desert you, whatever the words that's there in your in yours. The Lord is my helper. He told that to a few people in the Old Testament that had great things to do for the children of Israel. And he kept his word. He told the children of Israel that they didn't keep his word. So he had to rebuke them, and he did. But he remembered, and he brought them back, and then he rebuked, and he brought them back. You know, so the Lord will not forsake, but then he does if you turn away from him. Those who fear the Lord, I'll never leave you, I'll not forsake you. And sometimes times can get bad. Sometimes we feel like, where are you, God? Some people said that. Habakkuk said, what are you doing? God said, I am doing something. He didn't like it. It wasn't what he had in mind. It wasn't what the Jews had in mind about their Messiah, but God had his purpose and his will to do for the good of those who'd call on his name. Any thoughts? You are near, O Lord. All my ways are before you. Like we said, that's a positive and a negative as far as our heart and our actions are concerned. Any thoughts about that? That brings us down to the closing remarks in this. You know, I imagine that we all struggle with praising God enough for the good things and the blessings. We may name our blessings. We may name, you know, if we're having a difficult day, though, we sort of find it hard to thank God for what's going on. Anybody put down any suggestions that might help us to do better? What?
Continue to read and try to understand what His will for us is.
Yeah.
Recognize His blessings and then pray and thank Him.
Exactly. And you know, I was reading, preparing for this lesson, and I come across a scripture, and right there in that scripture, I got better understanding of what was going on, you know, going on. And I thought, you know, thank you, Lord. You know, I've been thinking about this. I've been meditating about this and everything. I'm not saying it was the angel of the Lord coming down and turning the page, you know. But all of a sudden, well, it's been there all the time. Thank you for, you know, for your message here. I can understand this better. Sometimes they pray about thanking God for our studies together so that we can learn and build our faith. You know, that's good. That's good. So in our private prayers, or even when we're struggling, thank you, Lord, for the strength of the things that I got to do today. That's hard sometimes, isn't it? Just making a journal of the blessings or making a journal of things that you need to work on, because examining ourselves, trying to, like Pat said, reading the Word, meditating on it, will help us to focus more and on praising God for all the good things, and even pray to see if maybe the struggle we're having is to give us endurance, because we don't know what the future might hold. Remember, Romans 5 has something to do with endurance and hope and character and all that stuff. So, any other thing on that? We're not going to read. Go ahead.
I don't know if that's what you're talking about, but leaning on His promises.
Absolutely. That's just thinking. Even if you don't, you know, open your Bible, just sit for a moment in quietness or in prayer and think about God's promises, hope, that kind of thing, promises that He's there for us, will get us through. Help us to praise Him more and thank Him for those things. Okay, one other verse. Carol, you read. Pat, read Hebrews 13, 14, and 15, and then we'll close this.
Hebrews what?
Hebrews 13, 14, and 15.
For here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that gives thanks to his name.
Following what Carol said. And just one verse there in 107, Psalm 107, verse 43 says, who is wise, let him give heed to these things, talking about the blessings and giving praise, and consider God's loving kindness. It's another psalm of praise and consideration and giving glory to God for his loving kindness. Who's wise? The one that acknowledges that and gives thanks for it. And there are many other passages, Romans 1, so many more others that we could talk about being thankful. But praising God for what he's done in your life, in the lives of your loved ones, in the lives of others that we pray for. Any other comments on praise before we leave? The next point of study that I chose was prayers. All throughout this psalm, and some of them we have studied as we go through looking at attitude and looking at some of those things. But in Psalm 119, I didn't even include all the prayers. I just picked some that touches the different avenues and the different topics and the different things that he's praying for that maybe would help us to consider, you know, in our prayer to him about it. So, in verse 2 through 4, how blessed are those who observe his testimonies, who seek him with all their heart. We're just reviewing here this attitude and his action. They also do no unrighteousness. They walk in his ways. You have ordained your precepts that we should keep them diligently. Verse 47. Attitude. I shall delight in your commandments, which I love. I shall lift up my hands to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. There's a couple of vows in there. I don't know if we'll get to it before we close the thing, but that's a couple of the vows that he makes to God. And if we have time, we'll cover those. But this is his attitude going into verse 5. What does he say in verse 5? What's his prayer? This is the prayer after extolling the word of God. What his attitude towards it is, what does he pray? Verse 5.
Oh, that my ways may be established. Keep your statutes.
Oh, that my ways may be established to keep your statutes. Do we pray that? That's his highest aim amidst affliction. He loves the law. He loves the Lord. He knows the Lord is near. Oh, that my ways, because he knows that he's struggling. He knows there's sin out there. He knows there's people who are mistreating him, lying about him, and how easy it would be to give in. So, verse 6, then I shall not be ashamed when I look upon all your commandments. Verse 38, what did you find in verse 38? Bobby, you want to read verse 38?
Establish your word to your servant as that which produces reverence for you.
Okay. establish, to keep. Establish, to be made firm. So that I'll obey.
New King James says, who is devoted to fearing you.
Exactly, exactly. And what was the purpose that he wanted the word to be established in his heart?
So sin wouldn't overtake him.
So sin wouldn't overtake him. In this verse,
reverence.
Do you find that you fear God and revere Him in a good way, that you want to serve Him more? The more you learn about His Word, the more you learn about His love and kindness, the more you learn about His justice and His mercy, don't you revere Him more? Don't you feel that I'm so glad you're the kind of God you are? Thank you, Lord. And when we've messed up and we ask for forgiveness, we fear Him enough that we want to straighten up. We have reverence for because He is holy and He wants His people to be the same. So, He wanted this to be the word to be established in His heart, made firm, because He wanted to have the right kind of reverence for God. Agree? Disagree? Okay. Any thoughts? 133. Sutter says the same thing. Down in 133, he says, establish my footsteps in your word. So that, like you said, Elizabeth said, so that sin won't have dominion over me. Above, in another verse in the Psalm, he says, so I won't sin against you. So sin won't have dominion. So what's the way? You know, we talked about that in the benefits. What's the benefit of the word? So it'll keep us from sinning against God. But he's praying for this. He's not just extolling the word of God. He's praying for this. This is a prayer. Help me, Lord, to make firm your word in my heart. So that I won't sin against you. Okay. In verse 6, he says he doesn't want to be ashamed. He prays that in verse 31 and 116 also. Verse 10 and 11. Let's go back up there. It's not on your list, but I wanted to cover it before we move on. Verse 10 and 11 shows again the extreme that he went to, what it takes. With all my heart I've sought you. Do let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. That's the verse. You think he's saying something different? Do not let me wander from your commandments than the word I've treasured in your heart that I might sin against you, that I may not sin against you. You think he's saying something different? You think God's going to go down there and snatch the word out of his hand and out of his heart? He's going to make his heart hardened. He's going to let the devil have reign over his heart. I don't think so. And if I'm wrong, so be it. But I don't think I'm wrong. He's praying. I don't want your word to be out of my heart. Help me, Lord. Help me deal with these things right here. That is God's business. But he had to do his business. With all my heart, I sought you. And we're going to talk about teaching me your statutes in here in a minute, because he prays that in the next verse and in other verses. Okay. What key words if you want other verses that we just talked about, not being ashamed, about looking up on God's word. 56 says observe precepts. 59-60 talks about considering your ways. I considered my ways and turned my feet back to your word. That explains how you beat the devil. Okay. Key words used in the prayer. And I just picked a few of these verses. They're all over the place in this psalm. Sometime if you have an opportunity and want to, go through there and mark them all. Just the prayers. That's where I started a long time ago, was the prayers in this psalm. And the benefits. Mark. Okay, so, verse 8. What did you find? Do not
forsake me utterly.
Do not forsake me utterly. Leave, desert. But then he says something in the first thing. I keep your statutes that don't forsake me utterly. He trusts, he hopes in whatever God does outside his word. I don't know about the providence of God. That's not my department. But don't forsake me. He's not going to forsake those who keep his word. He's giving trust in the fact that God is not going to forsake him. Is my understanding. Does anyone, your good Bible students, you studied, maybe you've prayed over this, any new thoughts that give us insight to don't forsake me utterly? Okay, verse 19. I love this.
Do not hide your commandments from me.
Do not hide your commandments from me. Conceal. He's asking, let me know. He's not saying, God, you hide commandments from people. You don't give your word to people so they'll know you or trust you or hope in you. He's asking, let me know your commandments. And what does he do throughout the psalm to know his commandment? He meditates, he reads, he loves it with all his heart, he keeps it. I'm a stranger. I'm a sojourner. Don't hide your commandments. I need you. I need those commandments. You know, little side view here. How did God talk to the patriarchs?
Dreams, visions.
Hmm? Abraham, he was right there standing there at his tent. With the patriarchs, he talked. With Moses, he talked face to face. With the prophets and the apostles, the Holy Spirit guided them, gave them words, gave them the truth. But even under the law, how did the people know the law?
They had to read it.
They had to read it. It was read to them. The priests were there to teach them. That's what they were supposed to be doing. Under the New Testament, after the apostles and Paul, and they preached, and they wrote letters. What does Paul say in Ephesians 3:4? When you read, you can understand my insight. I have Calvinistic friends who think that the Lord lays on their heart, and not like what Lauren was talking about, bringing into remembrance and having our conscience, you know, bring to bear something because we've read God's word and need to make correction. Not that. They're talking about the Holy Spirit directly operating on their heart to lead them to do this, 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 and this. Or tell them they're okay. Have you got anybody that says that to you? Or thinks that way? I've got members of my family that think that. Let's turn to Colossians 1. Let's make clear and then go back to the psalm, because God is the same. God doesn't change. Colossians 1, 25 through 28. Susan Hendricks, would you read that?
Of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship of God bestowed on me for your benefit, that I might fully carry out the preaching of the Word of God. That is, the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to the saints.
Okay. What's he saying there? To these Christians in Colossians who have now believed that word and obeyed, what's the answer? Paul preached, they heard, they believed, and he did it for their benefit. So, 1 Thessalonians 4:1 and 2. Bobby, would you read that? 1 Thessalonians 4:1-2. Okay. How do they know how to walk before God right? From the instruction that they got from Paul. Do we get that same instruction today from Paul? When you read, you get my insight. Do we need to say, don't conceal, but lay on my heart what you want me to do, Lord? You can't do that. It comes back to 119, and so many examples in the New Testament. Read, study, examine. Listen to what I'm saying. Don't listen to false teaching. warning after warning after warning, and it always points back to one thing. This, as we're learning in 2 Corinthians class, this is what God gave me from the Holy Spirit to tell you, and don't listen to anything else. It's from God. It's from heaven. This is it. It hadn't changed. Whoever the writer is, in 119, he's probably living under the old law. God gave his law to his people and was expected to keep, and they were expected to keep them. And he gave a manner and a way to get it done. And then evidently this person had access to the law. Because he read it. Any thoughts? So, do not hide or conceal. We can't pray that to God, in my estimation, like God is going to purposely keep me from knowing something that's going to keep me out of heaven. If I love him and seek him with all my heart. In fact, Matthew 5:6. Joanne, you want to read Matthew 5:6? Jesus is talking on the Sermon on the Mount. He's talking about the character of the kingdom that's coming. The kingdom of heaven that he's going to be the king of. What's he say?
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied.
They shall be satisfied. And then there's another place. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. What does that command? A little something on our part, doesn't it? A little bit of something on our part. We want to know the Word of God. We better get our eyes into it and our hearts attuned to it. Verses 41 and 43. Sandra, you want to read verse 41 through 43? And start with 40. Just start with 40. 40 through 43.
Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. Let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. So shall I have an answer to you who reproaches me, for I trust in your word. Take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in your ordinances.
Anybody got any thoughts about what he's saying here? What's he praying? This is important. What's he praying?
Don't take the word of truth out of my mouth.
What's that mean? Let's go back up to 13. Let's just look what he says throughout. With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth. Then we get down to telling others about the wonderful things. And then he says, save me. I hope in. But don't take your word out of my mouth.
44 says, so shall I keep thy law continually, forever and ever.
Yes, keeping the law. But what about telling others about it? Remember about getting that answer for those who reproach him? Remember what he said? That's one of the benefits. When people deride you. When they lie about you. When they false accuse you. Knowing God's word and giving an answer for the hope that's in you. It's also there in the New Testament. Be ready to give an answer. Don't take the words. Well, how are we going to tell somebody the hope that's in us? How are we going to tell somebody of my integrity that I'm holding true like Job did if you don't know anything? Those folks over there think they're the only ones going to heaven because they go to the Church of Christ. Those folks over there don't have instrumental music. Those folks over there think you have to be baptized to be saved and everybody else is going to hell. That's just a few. They think they're goody-goody and they can't fall from grace. Yeah, I mean, they believe that you can fall from grace. I'll get that right. How are you going to tell truth? Don't let the word out of my mouth, whether it's in my, whether it's to the people who are persecuting me at the moment like he was, or somebody else you want to teach the truth to. That's my understanding of it. If you have another understanding, we'll take a few minutes and talk about it.
I've decided a tiny bit different.
Okay.
Verse 42 is what struck me. I trust your work.
Yes.
If he says all this, he wants to continue to have it.
Yes.
He'll have this answer because he trusted in the word. That was what he depended on, not what somebody else did.
That's true.
He trusted in God's word.
That's right. He trusted, he hoped in it, he saved it. So, not to lose his trust, Pat, also involved in that then, not to lose his hope in what in the word that he had in his heart.
I say all these things because I trust your word.
Exactly.
You have this hope and you have this confidence.
Yes.
All through here, every verse in here is talking about God's word, basically.
Yes.
And he just makes the statement, I trust in your word. And then he had hope in it, and he waits for it, or had hope in it, as Tim just heard and read. So, anyway, it's not a whole lot different.
I agree. I had that in my notes, and I failed to mention it, but I agree totally. He's declaring his trust and hope, as Pat is so rightfully directed us to. And he doesn't want to lose that. But throughout the psalm, he also says that so that he can give an answer. His trust, his hope is in it. So you read, you discern. But I know, I trust and I hope, but sometimes I don't speak. That might not be the thought here, but that was just why I brought it up. Thank you so much.